You're listening to Kalam Institute's podcast. Visit us on the web at kalaminstitute.org. That's QALAM Institute.org. Or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Kalam Institute.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ali dhati azim sifati sami simati kabir shan jalil al-qadir rafi'i dhikri muta'il amri jalil al-burhan فخيم الاسم غزيل علم وسيل حلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل عطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس واحد الله فإن توحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Alhamdulillah, it's a great blessing and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we sit literally days away from the beginning of the month of Ramadan. Something that we've been looking forward to, we've been anticipating greatly. Something that maybe we've even started to make certain preparations for. But what we have to understand whenever we talk about the month of Ramadan is it's important for us to... Ramadan means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But it's important for us to understand what Allah has told us about the month of Ramadan. It's important for us to define our Ramadan through the eyes of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he define Ramadan as? What did he see Ramadan as an opportunity for? What did he instruct us and emphasize to us that should be our focus during this blessed month of Ramadan? And that's something that from time to time, whenever we are at the cusp of, we are at the beginning of any great endeavor, particularly a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's important for us to revisit exactly the meaning, the definition, and the understanding of what is the actual goal and objective and what the opportunity at hand is. This is a very fundamental yet profound concept within our deen, within our religion, that is called niyyah. The concept of intention, having an intention whenever approaching any deed. This is a very, very fundamental value emphasized to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and something that was very given, we were given very clear instruction about this from the Prophet of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, we know the very famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first hadith mentioned in Bukhari and many, many other great collections of hadith. And that is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. What this means is a lot of times whenever we talk about this hadith and we try to discuss what it implies, what it teaches us, what we can learn from it, we focus a lot of times on, you know, the word a'mal, actions. Niyat means intentions. But the most fascinating and probably the most powerful and eloquent part of this entire statement of the Prophet ﷺ is what he used to connect actions to intentions. And the Prophet ﷺ connects our deeds, our actions, to our intentions using the letter ba. This ba in the Arabic language is what we would consider in English a preposition. And in the Arabic language, classical Arabic, the Quranic form of the language, the ancient language that the Prophet ﷺ spoke, classical Arabic, this letter ba, this preposition ba, is extremely powerful and very, very effective. It has numerous meanings to it that are all built into it. It's used for a number of different reasons and purposes. One of the meanings of the letter ba is that the ba implies that it implies attachment, al-musahaba, al-muqarana bayna shay'ain. It attaches one thing to another permanently, inseparably. So when the Prophet ﷺ is saying, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, one of the implied meanings of this is that actions are attached to intentions. We cannot separate an action from its intention. It does not matter how noble the action may be, but if the intention is corrupt, that action will not hold any benefit for us. Temporarily, from a perspective of, you know, materialism, there might seem to be some benefit in this, but if there is not a solid intention behind a deed, it will not hold any benefit for us. This is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ alluded to when he said, speaking about the month of Ramadan, when he said that there are some people who fast but attain nothing through their fast except hunger and thirst. They attain nothing else but hunger and thirst. Why? Because the intention was not there. The intention was not in its right place. The intention was not taken care of. Even about prayer, something as powerful as the salah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there are some people who pray in their salah, you know, deeds, when we perform deeds, they are lifted up, they go up into the heavens and are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. He said some people when they pray, their prayers do not go further up above their heads, but it stops right there and it is returned back to them. Because of the lack of sincerity, purity, and intention when performing this deed. Many, many people in this world make dua. But again, if the intention behind that is not proper, this is why dua is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala time and time again tells us to make dua, ask for whatever you need. But there are some prayers, some duas of people that are not answered. And this goes back again to the purity of the deed. So the Prophet ﷺ very powerfully tells us, whenever we perform any action, any deed, and we'll get specific to the month of Ramadan, but whenever we perform any action, the intention is attached to it. It is inseparable. We have to understand that. Another implied meaning of the ba is that the Prophet, that the ba is also used in the meaning of sababiyya, ba sababiyya. That sometimes the meaning of that preposition ba is that actions are the outcome of intentions. That a lot of times when we think about an action, a deed, we think that it is based upon our physical, financial capacity, our physical ability, our intellect, our financial capacity, that according to a person's capacity, they can perform a deed. But what we have to understand, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, that as the great Prophet of Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, that my ability to do anything that I do only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So more important than my physical, intellectual, and financial ability, capacity, potential, is whether or not Allah will grant me the ability to perform this deed or not. That's very, very important for us to understand. There were people at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who were more eloquent, who are more well off financially, who are more physically capable, more, you know, intelligent than Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. There were people that were a lot more better qualified than these people maybe were from a worldly perspective, but not in the eyes and the sight of Allah. In the eyes and the sight of Allah, those people like Abu Jahl, people like Abu Lahab, Akhnas bin Shuraiq, were deemed to be unfit. And people like Bilal and Ammar and Suhaib and Salman rose to such heights that today all over the world we find people named Bilal, Suhaib and Ammar. They were accepted by Allah. So actions are the outcome of our intention. If our intention is to please Allah, to serve Allah, to obey Allah, then Allah will grant us the ability to do what the whole world would think we were incapable of doing. And again, talking about the month of Ramadan, this is a question on a lot of people's minds. If we're fasting this year, and it's 17 hours long, it's 100 degrees outside, I have a very difficult, demanding job, I work 60 hours a week with my hands, can I fast or not? The question on everyone's mind is Taraweeh. I understand Taraweeh is very important. It's a great sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But Salat al-Isha will be at 10:30 p.m. Can we pray Taraweeh? Can we or can't we? Well, what we have to remember is that the hours in the day become irrelevant. Our physical strength and energy is irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is whether Allah deems us worthy and He chooses us and approves us and accepts us for praying and standing before Him, and we'll be able to do so. And we have a long-standing history of this. Could anyone have thought that Bilal radiallahu anhu could have withstood, you know, the amount of torture that was put on him? Was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu capable of standing at the place of the Prophet ﷺ and leading the ummah after the Prophet ﷺ was gone? Did anyone think it was possible for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to empty out his whole home and bring everything he could to donate it into the cause and the path of Allah? But he was able to do so because his intention was to please Allah. And Allah gave him the ability to do so. So this is one of the meanings of this letter Ba'd, this very subtlety that is built into the words of the Prophet ﷺ. One of the other meanings of the letter Ba' is Ba'ul Isti'ana, assistance. That actions are assisted by their intentions, and that's what we've been talking about. That we might even start doing the deed properly, we'll start Ramadan properly, fasting every day, coming for Taraweeh prayers, praying 5 times a day, reciting half an hour of Qur'an every single day. We're doing it, we're taking care of business, we're doing everything we're supposed to do. And then what starts to happen? A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in, we start to fatigue and slow down. Well, actions are assisted by their intentions, and this is why. When the scholars were asked, how do we keep our intentions pure? Because the people of the past understood that if our intention is solid, if we can, you know, and this is something, mind over matter, this is something we talk about all the time. You know, great athletes talk about their games being 90% mental, 10% physical. That it's all a mental game, mental toughness, mental strength. We know this. This is a reality in our lives, in our world. We see it all around us. Well, similarly, the scholars of the past, the people of the past, the pious, righteous people who came before us, who are our role models and our inspiration, they devoted and dedicated their lives to serving Allah. And they understood that the same principle applied. It was heart over matter. Not quite mind over matter, but it was heart over matter. That it wasn't 90% mental, but it was 90% heart-based. It was the intention. And they understood that when we feel like, that's it, I'm breaking down, I can't do anymore, they said that one of the ways to keep the intention strong and pure, because if the intention is strong and pure, the deed will follow suit. The action will be accordingly. That they said there are 3 things that need to be remembered. Number one, before we set out on any deed, we check our intention. We sit there, we need some personal reflection. We need some time to put everything away. Turn off the phone, shut off the TV, close the laptop, distance yourself. Go and find a quiet, secluded moment and sit there and think, I am sitting 2, 3, 4 days away from the blessed month of Ramadan. What do I want to achieve? What do I want to accomplish? What does Ramadan mean to me? What do I hope to be when Ramadan is done? And think about that, long and hard. Until you find that intention and you find you're sure about what you want to achieve in Ramadan. Then the second thing was that while we are actually performing the deed, in the middle of the deed, again, take a little break, take a few minutes, sit down off to a side, and again, revisit your intention. Why did I start doing what I'm doing? Because you will start to lose sight of the goal, the objective. You'll start counting the days. The last 10 days of Ramadan are for ibadah, for worship, for making the most of this opportunity. But the last 10 days of Ramadan for me are maybe starting to become more about what am I going to wear on Eid? You know, what socks are going to match my shirt? And now it starts to become more of an obsession about that. So now what the problem is, now I'm more concerned about shopping than I am about worshiping and praying. Now I start to think about, well, you know, we didn't have them over for iftar yet, and we didn't have them over for iftar yet. And, you know, they invited us and they invited us as well. Can we do 2 iftar parties in one evening? Can we do it? Are we up to the challenge? Then that starts to become the goal. But if I'm hitting up 2 iftar parties, what happens to my prayer? What happens to my Isha? What happens to my Taraweeh? So at that point in time, it's very important to revisit our intention, to reorganize our priorities and understand why I started doing what I'm doing now. What my goal and my objective was. And then the third step of the process was that once the deed is done, so consider this almost like an Eid talk. Once the deed is done, then yes, it is a moment of celebration. And inshallah, the khatib will talk more about that as you get closer to the day of Eid. It's not to take away the celebration, because that's something that the Prophet ﷺ emphasized. But at the same time, it's important for us to also be able to take a couple of minutes, not a lot, take a couple of minutes to sit down and reassess. Here were my goals. Here's what I wanted to achieve. This is what I ended up actually doing. How far along did I get in accomplishing my goals? And if I did come up short, which most likely I did, then it's a very opportune time. It's an opportunity, it's a moment to basically sit down and say, oh Allah, I came up a little short, please forgive me for my shortcomings. Istighfar. And they said that as long as somebody can remember these three steps whenever approaching any deed, then that deed will be accepted, that deed will be blessed, that deed will be one that the goal of it, the fruit of it will actually be reaped. That's a deed that will pay off. That's a deed that we'll be able to walk away with some level of benefit from, inshallah. And so when we think about now, coming to the month of Ramadan specifically, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us that the month of Ramadan is about? What is the goal, the objective? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may develop taqwa. Taqwa is to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times in everything that we do. Taqwa is not to basically, you know, just restrict yourself to the masjid, never going to leave the masjid ever again, I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to abandon my family, I'm going to foreclose my house, and I'm never going to leave the masjid ever again. That's not taqwa. Taqwa is that I live my life. I have a job, I have a shop, I have a family, I have friends, I have neighbors, I have all these things. But in everything that I do, I am conscious and thinking about the fact, what would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what would please Allah in my deed right now? Is this something that would bring me closer to Allah? Or is this something that would take me further away from Allah? And the Prophet ﷺ spoke about this very powerfully, where he says, this is a hadith Qudsi. This is a hadith Qudsi. This is when the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah has said, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدٌ بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. That there is nothing that brings a slave closer to me, to Allah, and more beloved to Allah than that which Allah has obligated upon us. So the best way to come closer to Allah is to do what Allah asks us to do. 5 times daily prayer, fasting in the month of Ramadan. That's the best way to come closer to Allah. But if we pay attention, we continue to read on. He tells us, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّافِلَةِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. Then he continues to keep coming closer to me when he does more than what I've required him to do. He does things that are recommended for him or her to do. Doing extra deeds, voluntary deeds. I have to fast. I cannot eat or drink from Fajr till Maghrib for 30 days or 29 days. That's fine. I have to pray 5 times a day, the fara'id, that's fine. But when that slave starts to go a little bit further in doing good, doing a little bit more to do good, dropping a couple of extra bucks in the masjid donation box on the way out, praying a few extra rak'at after the prayer is done, picking up the Qur'an and reading it 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes before he heads off to work, making some dhikr and tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing an extra good deed, feeding a poor person, even though I don't have any penalty on me, I don't have to feed a poor person, but still going out of my way to go and feed a poor person. Then as long as a person continues to do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that person continues to become more and more beloved to Allah, hatta, until the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ, then when I love that person, كُنْتُ سَمْعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, I become the ears through which he hears, through which he listens. وَبَصَرُهُ الَّذِي يَبْصُرُ بِهِ, I become his eyesight that he sees through. وَلِسَانُهُ الَّذِي يَنْتِقُ بِهِ, and I become the tongue through which he speaks and talks. وَيَدَهُ الَّذِي يَبْطُشُ بِهَا, and I become the hand through which he, you know, that he utilizes, that he goes about his daily activities with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if we strive hard, if we understand the goal and the objective, Ramadan is there for me to become a better person. Ramadan is there for me to better my relationship with Allah. And if I can get that straight in my heart and in my head, my intention correct, and I can approach Ramadan with that intention. And then number two, The obligatory things are non-negotiable. We're not looking for any more concessions. We are not a people of concession. Ramadan is about taqwa. You know, there are two words that every Muslim needs to be acquainted with. Two technical terms. Taqwa, but then there's the word fatwa. The word fatwa, most people are pretty familiar with. The word taqwa seems to be something that we're not too familiar with. Fatwa is a ruling. If you want a fatwa on whether you have to fast or not, you will probably, more than likely, especially in our times, you'll find somebody to give you any fatwa you're looking for. Do I have to fast? No, you don't have to fast. Do I have to pray tarawih? You don't have to pray tarawih. Can I combine my prayers? You can combine your prayers. You'll find a fatwa for everything. But that doesn't make it okay, that doesn't make it right. But Ramadan is about taqwa, not fatwa. We need to stop looking for concessions. We need to stop looking for discounts. We need to stop looking for shortcuts and ways out. Ramadan is a blessing. It's an opportunity for me to come closer to Allah. I need to seize that opportunity. I need to make the most of that opportunity. My 30 fasts are non-negotiable. My 30 fasts in the month of Ramadan are non-negotiable. My 5 times daily prayer is non-negotiable. Staying away from haram is non-negotiable. I will not negotiate this. And then I will, the third step, after fixing the intention, not negotiating the faraid, the obligations anymore, the third step of the process is, then I will look for every opportunity I can find, even if it's a couple of minutes, to do whatever good that I can do. When I have a lunch break at work, it's the blessed month of Ramadan, and I find myself, there's no lunch, I don't have to eat any lunch. So I'm just sitting there at my desk, rather than wasting time or logging onto YouTube or checking my Facebook, what I'm going to do with that extra couple of minutes I have is, instead of all those other apps on my phone, I'll open up the Quran app on my phone. I'll just read a couple of verses and read the translation of a couple of verses. Let me know what Allah is saying to me. Let me get some spiritual food for myself. When I stand up and pray my fara'id, I pray Isha, I'll stand up and pray a couple of raka'ats more of nawafil. Sunnah. I'm going to make a couple of times throughout the day, even if it be 60 seconds each, where I will find a moment, a quiet moment, I will sit down, face towards the Qibla, raise my hands and say, "Oh Allah, this is what I need." We all have situations and circumstances we've been dealing with for the past 11 months. Ramadan is a time when you raise your hand and you say, "Oh Allah, please." We wake up for suhoor to eat before we have to fast because it's a long day. We break our fast as soon as iftar time comes in because it's been a long day. But what I can do is 30 seconds, 60 seconds before I would normally eat suhoor, 60 seconds before it's time for iftar, I'll sit down a minute, 60 seconds before, and I'll raise my hands and I'll say, "Oh Allah, I really need help with this." That we are taking from Allah. But even that is something that brings us closer to Allah. And if we can implement these three things during this next month that is dawning upon us, that is coming upon us, what is the effect of that? You know, we all talk about Ramadan syndrome. Ramadan comes, 'tis the season, right? Everyone's in the spirit of Ramadan. Everyone's all excited and happy. Masajid are full. Everyone's got great energy. Everyone's all good and happy and spiritual. Ramadan goes, and within a week, the masjid is right back to normal. We are right back to normal. Everything goes right back to the way it was a week before Ramadan. How do we counter that? These three steps, Allah is telling us. If we do these three steps when Ramadan is done, then what will happen? Then even the way that I use my faculties and my senses, what I listen to, what I look at, what I speak, what I say, what I do with my hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be my primary consideration. I will think of Allah before I do anything, before I look at anything, before I listen to anything, before I say anything. And that is the definition of being a better human being. Because that's not only spiritual, that's family, that's social, that's societal. Then it doesn't matter, when I'm at work, I'll be a better person. Because I think about whether this is pleasing or displeasing to my Lord, to my Creator, to Allah. Before I say anything to my family members, I'll think, is this something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with, or something that He would be displeased with me for saying this? That will be the primary consideration. And this all leads right back to intention. We are right here at the month of Ramadan. And while we make preparations, while we go to the halal grocery store to buy boxes of dates and to buy, you know, all the food items that we need, while we're picking out our outfits for Taraweeh and for Jum'ah, while we're trying to figure out when I'm going to have iftar there and when I'm going to go for iftar here, let us also just take a couple of minutes today. Don't put it off. Take a couple of minutes today and say, you know, in a couple of days, I got the month of Ramadan coming. What do I want out of the month of Ramadan? What do I hope to achieve out of the month of Ramadan? Because the most mundane, ordinary deed, when done with the proper, strong intention, can become something that leads us to paradise, that leads us to Allah. You know, one of the great scholars of the past, he said that if somebody can reach paradise through worship, if somebody has good adab with Allah, if somebody is cognizant and aware and cares about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that person to do, forget about paradise, that will take somebody directly to Allah. I can find a relationship with Allah through this Ramadan. That's my goal, that's my objective. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على سيد سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم. While we're making dua, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to reach the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month of Ramadan a means of our forgiveness, a means of us coming closer to Him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this the best Ramadan that we've had till date. At the same time, I wanted to remind all the brothers and sisters to also please remember all of the people all across the world who might be in suffering and hardship and difficulty, especially our brothers and sisters in Syria, in Iraq, in Palestine, in Bangladesh, Burma, Somalia, all throughout the world, wherever our brothers and sisters are suffering, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate their suffering. May Allah grant them peace and safety and security and tranquility. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of elevating their status in this life and in the next. قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة.